A few years ago, a quiet American couple called Perry and Ann Jordan became interested in prisoners and their problems. Indeed, their interest grew to such an extent that they began to visit prisons in the area of Florida. Perry and Ann Jordan were a Christian couple, and as they sat down with prisoners to listen to them, they also shared the good news of Jesus with those who showed some interest. Perry and Ann experienced the love of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of Christ in their own lives, and they wanted to share with prisoners what God could do for them. That quiet American couple came to see hardened prisoners turn from their sin and their past as they accepted Christ as their Savior. Now, it's not unusual for a person to make a profession of faith whilst in prison and show signs of changed behavior, all in the hope of an early release date. But some of us may know someone who became a Christian in prison and who has gone on to make a useful contribution to society on their release. Earlier in our service, we read the story of a conversion in the context of a prison. Not the conversion of a prisoner, but rather that of a prison warden, usually referred to as the Philippine jailer. A little bit of background might help here. Paul and Silas, they were in a place called Philippi, and they were moving around preaching the gospel, telling the story of Jesus. It was in Philippi, for example, that they met up with a woman called Lydia, whom they saw come to faith. However, Paul and Silas weren't all that long in the district or in the area until they got into trouble with the local authorities for preaching about Jesus and for calling people to follow him. And as a result of that, Paul and Silas, they were pulled in by the authorities and they were literally thrown into prison. Verses 22 to 24 of Acts 16 tell that part of the story. Then what happened was this. About midnight, there was an earthquake. And as a result of the earthquake, verse 26 says, at once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. And when the warden woke up, he felt sure that the prisoners would have taken their chance, taken their opportunity to escape. But if they did, well, then his life would be in danger. And just as he was about to harm himself because of what the authorities might do to him, he heard a voice. And that voice assured the Philippine jailer that no prisoners had made a run for it. No prisoners had gone. And then, as we know, he inquired about salvation. And with one voice, Paul and Silas pointed the warden to the Lord Jesus. And through faith in the Lord Jesus, the jailer gets right with God. And his life and his home are transformed. Some things I want us to notice about this man's conversion. Some things about his coming to faith. First, he asked an important question. And what was his question? Well, it's in verse 30. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? This man obviously had a bit of religious knowledge. Perhaps he had had a conversation with Paul and Silas, and they had explained some things about Jesus to him. He asked an important question. You know, as we journey in life, we ask many important questions, don't we? We ask important questions when we are children because we want to know how this works and we want to know how that works. When we get a bit older, we ask important questions about subjects at school or career opportunities. And later on in life, we ask important questions about marriage and about setting up home and so on. These are all important questions, and perhaps at some time in life, the jailer asks questions like these. But none of life's questions so far had touched on the spiritual side of things. None of life's questions so far touched on that side of his life that he was now suddenly aware of. None of life's questions so far raised the important matter as to how he was before God. None of life's questions he ever asked before had real bearing on the present as well as the future, the way this one did. And this is why the prison warden's question is so important. It involved God, and it involved him considering God. It involved him in getting his life sorted out in relation to God. Now, what helped to bring this man to this question? Might it have been the midnight crisis he found himself in? Maybe. I can imagine him at some point in the evening going around checking that the prison cells were all secure. And he was obviously content that they were secure because verse 27 of our reading tells us that he was asleep at the time of the earthquake. Perhaps it was the crisis situation he found himself in that got him thinking about God in a way that he hadn't done before. Friends, nothing unusual about a person thinking about God at a time of crisis in their life. God sometimes speaks to us through some challenging experience. Not everyone who comes to profess faith in Jesus does so as a result of a crisis in their lives. For example, earlier on in Acts chapter 16, we read of Lydia, who, it seems, came to faith quietly. And there are some of us here today, and as God has moved in our lives in the past, quietly and without any drama, we have come to accept, to embrace Christ as our Savior. But there will be others of us in this service, unlike the prison warden or the prison officer. It was during or after some crisis in our lives that we came to realize our need, that we came to see our need, that we were challenged to consider Christ like we hadn't done before. And we are thankful to God today for those circumstances, challenging maybe, that drew us and drew our attention to Jesus. Friends, my concern is this. There may be some of us here who have heard God speaking quietly to us about our sin and about our need to look to Jesus Christ, but still we are holding back from putting our trust in Him. And there may be some of us, and God has spoken to us through some crisis in the past, but still we think we can make it to God and to heaven by ourselves, and we can't. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to get this life of mine right with God? That was the Philippian jailer's important question. And it may be that God prompted him, jolted him to ask it through a crisis situation. But there's another reason for him asking this question. I suggest to you that he had heard about Jesus and his cross and about how God was reaching out to men and women through him. Verse 25 says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. I suggest to you that as Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises to God, they were also telling the story of Jesus for all to hear, including the warden. And what would those in prison have heard? Well, they would have heard about a God who loved them and who couldn't accept them the way they were. They would have heard about Jesus dying on a cross for their sins. And they would have heard about the forgiveness and new life, a new beginning he could give. And as the Philippian jailer heard all of that, he began to understand he had a need that only Jesus Christ could meet. Friends, I guess that all of us here today know the gospel, know the good news about Jesus. We know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and we know that the way to peace with God and to rightness with God is through faith in what Christ has done. But still, some of us are holding out on him. When the Philippian jailer realized where he stood, he wanted to find out more. He wanted to get his life on the right track. An important question. Second, an instant answer. Verse 31, Paul and Silas replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." In just 10 words, we have the gospel in a nutshell, or the gospel in its simplest terms. Just what does it mean to believe in the Lord Jesus? To believe in Jesus is to believe in who he was and is, the Son of God, the one who was unique in his birth, the one who was unique in his life. So to believe in Jesus is to believe in who he was. To believe in Jesus is also to believe in what he has done. What has he done? He has gone to the cross and suffered and died there in your place and in mine. So to believe in Jesus is to believe in who he was, is to believe in what he has done, and to believe in Jesus is to believe that he offers forgiveness and hope to all who come to him. What a wonderful answer the Philippian jailer received. He was pointed simply and clearly to the Lord Jesus. Friends, let's understand this. The Philippian jailer wasn't pointed to some set of rules and regulations for salvation. He wasn't pointed to a list of do's and don'ts in order to make him more acceptable to God. Clearly and simply, he was pointed to Jesus Christ. And my, how consistent Scripture is, referring to Jesus in an earlier chapter, of Acts, Peter says this: "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men, given among people, by which we must be saved." The Philippian jailer's important question received an instant answer. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Believe in who he is. Believe in what he has done. Believe that he holds forgiveness for all who turn to him. And how do we know the Philippian jailer believed and received the Lord Jesus? There was a notable change in his life. Fear was gone and he had joy. He was glad in his heart. We're told in verse 34 about him being filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. I think that's a lovely line of scripture. The jailer was filled with joy, not because he had turned over a new leaf in life, not because he resolved to tidy up some untidy parts of his life, but because he had come to believe in God. Here's a man who was close to taking his own life, yet before a new day dawned, the Philippian jailer was rejoicing that he had heard of the love of God for him and that he had experienced God's love in a personal way. Young person, older person, young Christian, older Christian, Jesus Christ didn't come into the world to make those who receive him and follow him miserable. Sadly, sometimes that's the impression some of us give. He came to bring peace to lives, and he came to give joy within, not necessarily happiness without, but deep, meaningful joy within. Yes, becoming a follower of the Lord Jesus has a serious and challenging side to it. It's about being serious about our sin. It's about confessing our sins before God. But what a joy Christ gives as we bow to him and trust him and love him. One of the changes we see in this prison warden's life, he had joy. Another change is this, and we shouldn't miss it, because the Christian way isn't just about belief, it's about behavior as well. Not just about confession, but about change. Verse 33 speaks about the jailer washing the wounds Paul and Silas had. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Remember, Paul and Silas were beaten before they were thrown into a prison cell. Verse 23, in fact, says they were severely flogged. We don't need to go into the detail, but you can imagine the rawness of their untreated injuries. And yet what's happening now is this. Paul and Silas are receiving consideration. They are receiving compassion. They are receiving care. And we read too that the prison warden brought Paul and his friend into his home and gave them a meal. Friends, that's what the gospel does. It transforms lives so that we see a converted Zacchaeus becoming a fair tax collector. We see a woman at a well with something of a reputation becoming a witness for Jesus. And in our passage, a converted jailer washing his prisoner's wounds and setting a meal before them. The gospel of Jesus Christ, when we respond to it, it doesn't leave us as we were. It impacts our lives. It does what no one else or nothing else can do. Yes, it brings a person right into the family of God, and it brings about change in lives. The old goes and the new comes. I read a book recently about past revivals, and I came across this comment about what happened in some of the coal mines in Wales during the 1904 awakening or revival there. And I quote, "At the time of revival, stoppages began to occur in the coal mines, not due to differences between management and workers, in other words, not as a result of strikes, but because foul-mouthed miners became converted and stopped using foul language, to the extent that the horses that pulled the trucks no longer understood what was being said to them." Responding to the gospel doesn't just mend our relationship with God. It does that, but not just that. It changes our lives. It brings a new focus and meaning and purpose and direction to our lives. Philippian jailer's question, it was important. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" It got an instant answer. "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." In other words, in hearing who Jesus was and what Jesus had done, he then made that personal to himself. And we read of a changed life. He had joy. And not only in his own life, but his family had joy also. There, I must leave it with you, folk. an important question, an instant answer, a changed life. Let's pray.